Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of 300, the RC Racing Podcast. It's great to have you on board listening again. And I have two guests with me tonight, one who bores me to tears because he's always here, and that would be Alexander Hayward. Please say good evening, Alexander.
Good evening, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. I hope you're doing well. Don't bother answering because I'm not really interested. I also have on the line. Who cares? Who cares? I also have on the line a returning guest. Very welcome. The legend that is William Venables. Venerable Venables. Please say good evening, William.
Evening, boys. How are we doing?
Yes, we're very well. We're very well. Nice of you to join, young William. It's good to have you on the show yet again, sharing us with your nuggets of wisdom and racing information. So, yes, 2019, slightly later than I had intended, because it's not always easy getting everyone together. But William, somewhat. Having just returned, we won't put a specific timeline on what having just returned actually means, but you're back from Dorn in Germany and the latest EOS round, which was on February the 3rd, I think, unless I'm very much mistaken. Was it not?
No, yeah. That was the last day of four wheel, so it started 1st of February to the 3rd. So just first week of February.
Right. Okay. So I got a bit worried then when you said no, yeah. So,
wrong date, okay. Pete.
I always like to trick you.
You are a card, young William. You are a card. So, listen, tell us all about it. How did you get there? Where did you stay? So on and so forth. Be that walking Trivago guide for us.
So I guess everything obviously started on the Thursday. I got to the airport somehow. I don't know how I got there, made it. A miracle.
Okay.
And then just pretty standard, to be honest. Now just pop on the plane and then meet the rest of the guys at the airport in Frankfurt, and then a little bit of a drive to Dorn. I think that's how you say it. Dorn.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes, I believe so. Then, yes.
Yeah, made it to the sports resort in the snow again, another miracle. And then just got some sleep, and we all got ready for the weekend. It was obviously quite a big EOS event. Apparently they had record entries.
Yes.
So it definitely showed, like, with the competition, it was, you know, it wasn't really fierce as usual. So it was the usual event, and I guess I did all right as well. Can't complain. Mm.
I heard you did really well.
I think there were, I can check actually. I know in two wheel there was around, I think, 140, and I guess there'll be slightly less than four wheel, but still a huge, huge increase for a European event.
I must say it takes place at, is it the Sport Work Hotel or something in Dorn, which always makes me think, especially with you having saying that it was snowing, it always makes me think of some sort of James Bond scenario of, people skiing everywhere and, villains with really thick milk bottle glasses waiting to sort of like commit murders in foyers with shoes that have knives that pop out of the bottom of them, you know, Rosa Klebb style. So yeah, that's what it always makes me think of. Wooden, you know, lots of wood and sort of snow and all that kind of stuff. I don't know where it is. I'm probably completely wrong. So that was 140 in two wheel. Do you know what it was in four wheel?
I guess it'll be, I think it was maybe slightly less. I think a lot of guys, I know a few went there just for two wheel and then decided to, I guess, chicken out for four wheel. I'm just going to say, you know.
You did both though, didn't you? Sure you did.
Yeah, I took one for the team, obviously, and did both. So,
And results wise, how did you get on?
So two wheel drive was good. That was another B final. So happy with that. Another B. Mm. I qualified 8th in the B and was able to sort of sneak up two positions in the final to finish 6th in the B. So that was pretty good. Four wheel started a lot like MK, believe it or not.
wheels flying everywhere.
Exactly. I still had issues with wheels popping off, but I remember someone mentioned to me, get the Okomo wheel nuts. So I kind of I kind of hunted down Shinodachi and kind of asked if I could borrow some of the Yokomo Wheel Nuts, and he gave me some. And then from the second I had them, it was fine. I didn't have an issue for the rest of the weekend. And I could actually focus on getting a car set up instead of trying to torque these wheels down as hard as I can to make sure that they don't come off.
Yes, yes. It was slightly unfortunate at MK, wasn't it? That I think you had about two or three runs, amazingly, where your wheel came off. And you do have, I must say, I don't know if you agree, Alexander, you do have the most wonderful post-race, it hasn't gone very well face, where you look like basically Armageddon is on the horizon and the world is ending. You certainly wear your heart on your sleeve, and you know, you did look like the world was going to end with the wheel issue you had. So I don't know if you've noticed that, Alexander, but I think that I'm very pleased that you managed to get that wheel issue sorted out.
Yeah, thank God I finally figured it out. I thought it was just going to be a curse for the rest of the year with just any four-wheel drive, because I don't know if anyone knows, but I also used, by the end of practice, I swapped to someone else's car completely at MK. Still had the same issues. So I was pretty convinced it was a curse or something. I'm pretty convinced this year was not my year. But
were you using the same wheels, though, were you, Will? Or was it the... what do you reckon it was? It was actually causing them to come off?
I think, to be honest, I think it was just the wheels, to be honest. I think they were just... because they stripped once, or what happens is with these Schumacher wheels are quite soft, I think. So when you're tightening them all the way down, eventually the wheel actually will start skipping hexes because the wheel's quite soft compared to other brands, at least.
I think the hex on the Schumacher wheels, I may have heard from someone, I can't remember who actually, apparently the hex is a little bit shallower on the Schumacher wheels than it is in like the AE wheels or other brands, which obviously suits their car fine, but obviously they have like a control tie, don't they, for EOS, and it's on their wheels. I mean, I've never had any problems with the wheels, and I use their wheels on some of my cars, and I have heard on four-wheel drive they can strip hexes if it's not designed for that particular car, which is obviously being a Schumacher handout tire, which is why you're using the Schumacher wheels.
I guess it was just a bad batch, or maybe I must have stripped it, but after I put the different Yokomo nuts on, they were fine, so I'll just leave it at that. It was just one of them.
It was Sean Berryman's car, wasn't it, that you borrowed at MK, I think?
Yeah, it was Sean Berryman's car. So.
Then the wheel came off that one as well. It was just sort of like, you know, the curse of Venables had struck. You know, the wheel had parted company with the four-wheel drive. I remember seeing you, bless you, and I thought, he's gonna throw himself off the balcony at John Lewis in a minute.
Was it one of those, kind of moments where you're sitting there watching it thinking, oh, mate, oh, your wheel came off, mate.
Yeah, what sorry, poisonous mate. Dave Chance, poisonous pit pal. This is it. You want to make sure so somebody wasn't pitting next to you, Will, who had your wheels off. You know, who knows? Drescher might have been lurking.
You would have qualified a lot higher if it wasn't for your wheels coming off, Will. You're normally a much higher driver than that, mate.
Yeah, mate. queuing up at the Roche. Oh, what happened to you? You know, and in fairness to you, you did go out in your final and won it, didn't you? You won your final at MK. It was something like a K final, wasn't it?
I think to be fair, if I still had issues at that point, and if the camera wasn't looking at me, I think I would have just jumped. But
we're very glad you didn't. And can I just say, you're very, very humble. I think a B final with that level of entries in two-wheel drive at Dawn was really good going, don't you think?
Amazing, actually. Amazing.
I thought it was terrific. Brilliant. So well done. Very well done. And how was the track?
The track was really high speed. And it didn't really, I don't want to say it was easy, because obviously the track wasn't, but because at least the layout kind of looked a bit simple compared to the other tracks, everyone was pushing a lot harder to go faster.
Yeah.
Because there were sort of less places where typically, at least in my opinion, where people were crashed, like compared to Poland in the first round, everyone was crashing, but because of how hard the track was. But this one, it was more people were crashing because they were pushing so hard. Because it was such a big open track, at least in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a sort of, it's in that sort of wooden room, isn't it, where they hold it? Correct me if I'm wrong. It does look wooden, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was like in this. It's like an indoor tennis court. Which I guess kept everyone warm, but also the downside is I had no internet, so I felt like I was living in the Stone Age for 3 days straight, pretty much. But
It
did its job.
See, going back to my sort of James Bond feeling about Dawn is that I keep imagining that in the middle of the track you're going to have like a little mini map come out of the ground, come out of the floor, you know, and turn over, and it's got like going to have a map of Fort Knox on it, and like those little sort of beeping sounds, the generic beeping sounds that Bond films used to use back in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, that's it. One for the kids. Sort of beeping sounds that they used to use signified something computery going on, and where they were going to let off a neutron bomb or something. So yeah, it looks that's what it looks like to me. But high speed and some terrific results over there, obviously, for your friend Michael Orlowski, who I'm trying to remember what happened. He TQ'd two-wheel drive. I'm not sure if he TQ'd four-wheel drive as well. Did he?
No, he started second behind Bruno in four-wheel.
Right, yeah, okay. And it finished that way, didn't he? It finished that way. Four-wheel finished Bruno, Michael and Daniel Kobovic in third. One of your AE teammates, unless I'm very much mistaken there.
That's AE, not Kobovic.
Oh, is it?
Anymore.
Sorry, it was he. Am I out of step here slightly?
No. Daniel runs X-ray. That's what I mean.
X-ray. Was he AE at one point?
He was at one point before Yokomo a few years ago.
Ah, mate. I think it's Yuna I'm getting confused with. So that's my fault. But Lee Martin winning in two-wheel drive. His first win for a little while. So that was obviously great from the perspective of a British contingent out there. Although Michael has... did he put in like a it was something like a 17 lapper or something? What was it he did? He set the fastest time or something in two wheel drive overall, didn't he? With one of his runs, I think it was.
I think he set the fastest time, and I think it was the fastest car on track. After speaking to Trish the other week at Silverstone, I think Michael was the quickest on the track in terms of lap times, pace, and obviously the final run as well. But he just didn't have a look. He had a couple of errors, I think, which cost him. Early on in the kind of first couple of legs, but I think they had the pace to win, but they just a couple of errors cost them in the end.
Yes. So I mean, terrific performance from all, and including yourself, Will. Very well done. So what happens on the Sunday when it's all over? Do you sort of leave straight away, or do you stay another night?
Oh no, I leave straight away. Normally I have to wait for Neil as usual because he has to get his trophies and stuff, you know.
Yes.
Neil being Neil, you know. So we just drive straight to the airport pretty much. So I don't think any of us really want to be there for another day. So we try to get a flight the same day, generally. So, you know, we're racing for 3 days straight, and like by the end, honestly, it's similar to MK, you just want to be home. So we try to get home.
Do you find you get tired by the end of the third day?
Oh yeah, third day for sure. I'm dead, to be honest, by the second day. Like even I always fall asleep straight away on the flight. And I don't know what about you guys, but I can never fall asleep generally in a flight. But after EOS, bang, I can sleep straight away. That's how tired I am.
Well, I fall asleep anywhere is actually my answer to that.
Mid race as well.
It feels that way sometimes. I tell you that I fell asleep standing up on a bus when I was a teenager, which my friends marveled at. I was leaning up against the sort of like thing you hold on to with the button on that you press that rings the little bell back in the old days for the bus driver. I fell asleep leaning against one of those. Amazing. So now I find it easy to fall asleep. But I must say at MK, at the end of the MKGP, although if you think about it, you're actually only racing for like 25 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. You are tired by the end of it. So I can imagine that after the 3 days of the EOS events, it's probably a lot of fun. But however... tiring, you know, that's 3 days of concentration, if you like, and changes and everything. So Yeah, that's good. So, Hayward, you've been a little quiet.
No.
What have you been up to? I'm not letting you hide in the background there any longer.
Racing as much as I possibly can, as usual.
Standard.
can't get enough. Yeah. Mainly this time of year, you've got club meetings, you've got like MAM events, you know, like Midlands Astro Masters Outdoors, done a couple of them. Dudley Winter Series, done a few of them. Silverstone Tuesday nights, which has been going well. I went back to Junction 16 for the first time in a while last week.
Yeah.
Was really good. Had a great race with fellow ex-factory driver Kev Hunt. And we finished 600th of a second apart in the final. And we basically raced bumper to bumper for 5 minutes solid.
Yeah, I heard it was very good.
Probably the most exciting kind of closest race I've ever had, actually. It was really, really good. Yeah,
TQ and win, race. Wasn't it, son? TQ and win.
TQ, yeah, dominated. TQ and win, but win by only just, like I said, it was very close. So that was good fun. With the Silverstone Tuesday nights, I've been doing them. And like I said, with the Dudleys on Sunday as well, Dudley last Sunday, which is good fun.
Yeah, so what happened to Dudley on Sunday?
Dudley, you get quite a good turnout at Dudley, actually. Some really good drivers. Like this week, we had a return of the general, Craig Drescher.
Yeah. Hero.
Made a return.
Hero.
Absolute racing legend, Craig Drescher. And so he came back, and he's been to three of them now, I think. That was his third one. But it just shows when, even if you don't race that much, when you're someone like Craig Drescher and you can turn up and TQ at Dudley Winter Series, outdrive the likes of Ben Pugh, Richie Thorne, Jamie Beasley, Elliot Taylor, who's come on really strong over the last kind of few months. He's been racing indoors. He's normally an 8th scale driver,
right?
Elliot Taylor, but he's been driving a lot of 10th scale through the winter, and he's got really, really quick and driving really well. But so Craig TQ'd. Eventually, the finals, it's like a 3 qualifiers, so best 2 out of 3 to count. And then in the finals, they run 2 leg finals and both legs count. So Craig TQ'd, but a couple of errors in each of the finals cost him in the end. And Richie went on to take the win. So an associated took the win. Then you had Ben Pugh in second. Schumacher, your teammate, Pete.
Yes.
Then Craig held it together to get third. And then I was just behind Craig in fourth. So it was good.
Dudley was. So Mr. L'Oreal, Richie Thorne, taking a win there for a change after his usual quips about being the first loser. Everything that he makes, doesn't he, about second place. So I was pleased for him there, and he looked good. I mean,
Richie drove awesome. It was him and Ben, much like my race was with Kev on that Friday at J16. Richie and Ben in 2 finals were bumper to bumper for 2 finals. And Richie just took the win in both. Went well. I think he's pleased with that one. And I think it leaves him wide open for the last round.
I can't wait, as I say, I was going to say that I can't wait to see Ben at the regionals and nationals this year, Ben Pugh, because he's come on so much. He's so quick. And I think it's going to be terrific to watch him. And you couldn't want for a nicer family in racing. So I thoroughly look forward to seeing how they get on. I shall be cheering them on to see. Hopefully they'll do well. And they've been doing well at Dudley. So you say it's wide open. Who's it open between then? So who's in the hunt for the title?
I think it's between Richie and Ben. I believe I might be wrong in the way I've got this, but one of them has 2 firsts and a second, and one of them has a 1st and 2 seconds, I think.
Right.
I might be wrong on this. But basically, I think Richie needs to win the last one, and then it will go on count back or something, or it'll be very close, or they might share the title if Richie wins.
Mm-hmm.
They do it based on your final position rather than TQ as well. So it's literally where you finish on the day is the points you get, which is quite cool. It's going to be wide open for the last round to see who takes the Dudley World's Winter Series title 2019.
Okay. So whereabouts can you finish? Do you know?
To be honest, I haven't seen any overalls from the series at all. I think I've been in the A final every event. I think this 4th place was my highest finish so far.
Right.
So is this when you can still beat the general himself, or...?
I'm not sure, actually, because Craig, I think on the first one, it's his first meeting back for like 2.5 or 3 years. So he hadn't driven a car for a long time. And he was BQ, I believe, in the first one. And he won the B final comfortably.
Yeah. So he probably was quite scarred from that experience.
Was he? Look, yeah, he must have put in some practice since.
Look, the general, right, went out to the associated event in France, didn't he? A year or two ago.
And I think and
unless
actually,
I'm very much mistaken, Will, you were there and he won.
Yeah, I was.
And you had your slightly disappointed face on at the presentation photos. And I just laughed because I thought, man, the general, he's back, you know. And he won the event. Was Clement Boder second and you were third, was it, Will, or something?
It was actually a tie break for first, second, third, and fourth, I think.
Oh,
it was really close because that was why everyone was close. So it was the boy himself, the general, and then it was Clement and then Jamie Clancy and me. So those three had a win and I think either second or third. And then I had 2 seconds. So it was all a count back. And because I did have a leg win, it was a fourth. So that's why you saw me with that face I usually have. Of this pure disappointment.
Yeah, the happy, he's a happy man. He's such a happy man. So
he certainly doesn't put on the front, does he?
No, his heart on his sleeve, does Will.
Yeah.
He wears his heart on his sleeve. The general, that's the man. So, I mean, where have I been? Where have I been? Worksop.
Where have you been, Pete?
Where have you been?
Worksop.
Mr. Lyons.
So, I last went to Worksop probably about 3 years ago, so it's quite a long time ago, and there was all this jiggery-pokery with mini pins back then.
Yeah.
Obviously now you're running on the Schumacher honeycomb tyre, which is really good. It works really well on the surface, which is almost like a rubberized gym floor type thing. It's quite unusual. Multi-surface, you know, jumps and everything at Worksop. I'm sure lots of people are aware, but I know people listen to this podcast from all over Europe and Australia and things. So, like, Worksop is multi-surface. It's like gym floor, put down rubber mats, they put down wooden jumps. So it's quite unusual for the UK in that way. It's got quite a lot of different surfaces. So this honeycomb tyre is almost like, it's a bit like a clay tyre, isn't it, guys, when you look at
it?
It's almost like a clay pattern, and it works really, really well, and they work straight out of the packet, which is great. So you're allowed you have one set for rears, and you just use them and they last the whole meeting, which is brilliant, because obviously people whinge and whine about tires, about which we've covered before. And I decided to go back for something a little bit different, and I went to round 5, which is my first time back there in ages. And it was really, really competitive. And I've got to say, just a few little notes I made about going up there was Johnny Skidmore, a guy who I'm sure you both know or know of. Do you know him, Will? Johnny?
Yeah. He's one of my mates. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, I got chatting to Johnny, but he knows Abe, and him and Abe are really good friends. I don't even know how he knows him, yet again, proving the adage I've told you about before, or the anecdote that Abe seems to know more people than I do. Johnny and Abe are really good mates, but I was treated to the privilege of watching this guy, and I was speaking to Brendan Nunn about him, who obviously knows him from the 8th scene, and he was just phenomenal. He TQ'd and won both 2- and 4-wheel drive at round 5.
Yeah.
And he was lapping people in the top heat halfway up the order. It was just stunning to watch. And I really enjoy watching drives like that. And it was great. It really was. No disrespect to Johnny. Obviously, Neil was away running 8 scale. And Simon Smith said, you know, Neil's a privilege to watch there. And he certainly was at round 6 as well.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say, I thought it was worth highlighting just how good Johnny Skidmore was. It was just phenomenal to watch him in the A final and, you know, gapping people of such ability in the A final. It was terrific to watch. And, Ben Smith very much impressed me. Another one of Abe's very, very good mates, Smithy. Ben came second in two-wheel drive with David Snee in third in two-wheel drive. And yeah. Ben was terrific. He was terrific at round six just gone, where he came second in two-wheel drive. And you could watch him in the heats, and I know he runs KC in position four on slippery surface, and he's just pulling away. And it's just terrific. And I mean, Neil Cragg won two-wheel drive. Fair play. Neil, he's brilliant. But Ben came in second with Collinson third. It was just terrific, you know. It was a lot of fun, actually, Worksop. I'm trying to get you along, Hayward.
On the third is the next one, is it? In two, yes, 3 weeks?
I believe yes. So. 3rd of March. Venables, have you ever made an appearance there?
I went there once for the BWOC a few years ago. So maybe you guys were around for that. And it was awesome. It is a plan to go there eventually, but it's so far to go, and just trying to find the time for me is just hard. It is on my mind, though. Like, some of the jumps there look absolutely awesome. Which is what I wanted to ask you, actually, about that big wooden jump section.
Yeah.
How was that to drive on? That looked absolutely dialed.
The massive rhythm section.
Round five, that was. Yeah, that was both exhilarating and at the same time slightly terrifying. What you had to do, because it was on a wooden boarding. You had to come round on the wall of death that they had and get it lined up right so you could do the rhythm section. Now, I actually didn't get it really quite right until the final, which was a bit late. I didn't go massive on it, although some people were, because if you got it wrong, it was a breaker. It was a car breaker. Yeah. I just sort of almost hopped it, because I like to keep my wheels down if at all possible. It wasn't easy. I mean, I went off the side of it, I think, once, but I got away with it because I landed flat and drove down the side. But I saw quite a few people break, but it was a proper make or break, and it introduced quite a lot of errors where even the top guys were getting it wrong, and not just wrong once, wrong a few times. So it made it all a little bit more unpredictable, which actually was quite a good thing in a way, because it allowed a bit like outdoors, really. There was a little bit more room for error, because people were getting things wrong rather than the very metronomic format, if you like, of, like, say, an easy carpet track where you make one mistake and it's pretty well much all over. So it was really good fun to drive. They didn't have anything like that around six. I found the track, it was a lot easier. And I think that introduced where it became more like carpet racing, where mistakes were a lot more costly. Because I'm doing four-wheel drive at Worksop in round five, large rhythm section in two-wheel drive, I believe, was really quite difficult. Obviously, getting the two-wheel lined up. But it was really, really good. I might be wrong, but I think Leon Morrell might have been behind that section. And he was away in Montpellier. Yeah. I think he was away in Montpellier at the eighth thing. At the last round, so we didn't have anything like that. But it was really good. It's been a long time since I've driven on anything like that. I mean, I was really pleased. I actually I qualified in the D, came second from eighth, and I came fifth in the E from 11th. That was at round five.
Oh, and brilliant.
The last one, I'm trying to remember where I came, actually. I came 10th, I think it was, in the D. Wasn't the greatest run. And Abe, though, he won the E final, which I was thrilled. He had a terrific final with a guy called Phil Holmes, it was. Yes, Phil Holmes. Abe's in his F final, sorry, not E final, his F final. And Phil Holmes qualified one, Abe qualified two. and Abe managed to get in front, and the two of them had a brilliant race. You know, one of those races where you're both driving with respect for each other. And
yeah.
Neither you knew this guy, Phil, wasn't going to take Abe out. And equally, Abe tried to hold his lines. And yeah. It was just great. I mean, I felt sick, but it was great to watch. I feel, do you know what? I feel worse watching his races than my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get me up on the rostrum any time, it's fine. But when I watch Abe, I think it's like that for a lot of dads. I feel more nervous watching him than my own. And he had a great race. I think especially
as a driver yourself as well. If you're a driver and you actually rate yourself, I can imagine if you're trying to watch someone else.
Yes, well, you're thinking about bits and it's like, yeah. You know, your heart's in your mouth at when you clip something or whatever. And you're like, oh, you know, it has its moments. And it was a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I have to say, I pick out a few performances I thought were terrific at Worksop at the last round. Josh Holdsworth was superb with his L1. He really was. He finished second behind Collinson in four-wheel drive. Craggy came in third. I think he made a mistake, if I remember right. A rare mistake. But Josh was superb. And I've got to say, Dom Nunn in four-wheel drive at round six, he qualified second with a 2 and a 0. And he was the only person who put in a 17-lap run in four-wheel drive. And Dom, I thought that was brilliant because sometimes it's all or nothing a bit with Dom. And it was really pleasing to see him get it all, if you know what I mean.
One of the most exciting drivers to watch. If you're ever at Telford or somewhere like that, national or regional or whatever, if you watch at Telford or I imagine Worksop as well, if you watch Dom Nunn race, he's so exciting to watch how he gets that car around that track as quick as he does. It's just incredible to see. It's kind of, like you say, Pete, kind of all or nothing, really. He just kind of gives everything out there and he gets results as well. I think he made the National A final. I might be wrong in saying last year. I think it might have been the year before in four-wheel drive, but he fully deserves everything he gets. He puts everything into each race.
Well, that's the thing. It was great to see for him and his dad, Brendan, getting the all because he was in a double A final, I think, 2 and 4-wheel drive, being 4-wheel drive, putting in that 17-lap run and being the only person to do it. I thought that was superb. And it was great to see him getting the success for himself and his dad. That was brilliant, you know. So, I mean, that's kind of racing coming up. Obviously, we've got Worksop coming up. Which is great fun to go to with Muzzy running that and with the tyre and everything makes it nice and easy. But things that have tickled me recently, got a few things to have a bit of a laugh about, really. And you guys may know, some people know who know me on the racing scene, obviously, as I go to the gym pretty regularly. Every morning,
really?
Basically. Nice and early, usually there by 6:30 or so. And when I'm on the treadmill, just getting warmed up, there's usually a program called Bonkers World Records. Okay. And it never fails to provide me with things to laugh at because I watch and wonder, you know, how did you work this out? For this Bonkers World Record. So I picked out a few highlights that I've seen recently. So a guy has a world record, Guinness World Records. This is all Guinness World Records. He has a world record for the heaviest car balanced on his head. Okay. So he balanced a 300-pound car on his head for 33 seconds. Now, my question about that and others, I mean, there's one here, it was eating crockery, the most amount of crockery eaten in 2 minutes. And another one was, a brilliant one was the most amount of spoons balanced on your body, which was 53, you know, two days, all absolutely true, these, Will. I can hear V and Abel's in the background losing his mind. I saw one as well a couple of days ago where it was the most amount of washing machines picked up and thrown over 6 feet by a German guy who was a bit of a strong man. So it was 22. So I was wondering, where do you go to practice for these things? You know, where do you go to sort of practice balancing a car on your head? You know, it's not exactly the sort of thing you go to your local Ford garage about, is it? Or, you know, what about throwing the washing machines? You know, did they go to Whirlpool or Hot Point and say, yeah, do you know what? You know all those washing machines you've got scheduled to deliver to John Lewis? Do you mind if I throw 22 of them?
Can I chuck them, please?
Yeah, can I chuck them?
The delivery guy that turns up on your doorstep with your new washing machine, you just open the door and just throws it into your house.
yeah, that's a potential. Throw it in, crush the householder. I mean, eating crockery, that's the one for me though. Where did that guy sort of figure out to himself, do you know what, Joe? I'm not gonna eat that pizza. I'm actually gonna eat the plate. Yeah, let's eat the plate. You know, let's set a world record for eating crockery. I mean, come on. Where do you practice these things? How do you even think them up? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's where they actually work it out one day. Yeah, I am just going to eat the crockery, I am going to throw washing machines. I'm going to get the record for the most washing machines thrown over a certain distance. And it's a specific distance as well. So they've obviously got to decide that they're going to, 6 feet is the official distance for this record to be counted. So where did they actually get the ideas from?
I don't know. There's some sort of trend for it, but hence bonkers world records. I mean, I can get the one where this guy, it was amazing, 15 minutes underwater.
Holding
That's
breath.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Oh, I've seen that.
Now, I know that this is probably well out of date, but I know that you do get Pacific pearl divers who used to hold their breath and go down to amazing depths.
Yeah.
To recover pearls, because that's what they do. It's they do it from young. But this guy, over 15 minutes, he held his breath underwater. That's astonishing.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely astonishing, you know. And I thought, well, that's an amazing world record. But most spoons on your body, not so convinced on that one, I must say.
You're not fancy having a go at that, Pete?
No. No,
which record do you reckon you could, what would you attempt then? What of all the records you could do, what would you do?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot there.
But it has to be bonkers. Has to be bonkers to be on this show.
Has to be bonkers. Most amount of times I could probably do an impression of Alan Carr would be one, I would say, because I was very pleased to see in our reviews of the show, people are enjoying the show, although somebody claims it is really being hosted by Alan Carr. And I'll take that as a big compliment. It did make me laugh when I read that. I have a little bit of fun for us now, though, as just to round up the show, is a quiz for you guys. We'll do it all together, actually, and we'll identify with, are we a loser? Okay, so let's say it's singular. Are you a loser, Will? You a loser, Alexander Hayward? Are you a loser? Are you cool? Do you even know? So we've got a test to do now. How old are you? First question. Now, I know how old I am. You guys, are you 31 to 40 or 26 to 30?
31 to 40.
Okay. 31 to 40. Where do you live? A large city? A small town? A town out in the country?
City.
A small city. Yeah, a small city.
Small city.
Venables. Yeah. Yes, you can chip in, Venables, you know. Absolutely, your input is needed. What's the meaning of life? Party, go to school, get a job and retire happily, find and be with that special someone. There isn't one. 42.
42 is an answer. That's the meaning of life.
I'm taking the first option.
Party.
Classic student,
I'll put that down. I'll put that down so that you have a chance of avoiding being a loser. 42 is a reference. Do you know what that reference is from?
No.
I know what it's from. 42. Right. I'm showing my age here. It's from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, unless I'm pretty sure that is, which will mean nothing to you, which will mean a lot to people of my age. You will have not only known the book, but seen the TV show that was on the BBC many years ago. Okay. Which of these activities sounds the most fun? Skydiving, fishing, bowling, beer drinking, online chatting, sleeping.
I reckon Will would choose fishing out of all of those.
Will?
The party of all that he is.
V and Abel's, what would you pick?
Debating if to choose beer drinking or sleeping, actually.
I think sleeping. Beer drinking.
Yeah, oh, sleeping, beer that's what would be best.
Sleeping, there we go. Okay. Now, this is a great one. I love this one. Think of the last party you attended. What mostly was going on there? Never been to a party? beer drinking, gaming, computers, board games, etc. Movie watching, dancing and socialising. This one, fighting. Fighting. What was mostly going on at the last party you went to?
I think one of the parties you would have involved in, Pete, then would have been fighting, surely.
Fighting.
but yes,
more than likely. So, never been to a party, beer drinking, gaming. Do you want the options again? Always the same. Never been to a party, beer drinking, gaming, movie watching, dancing, socializing, or fighting.
Will?
Yeah. Beer drinking.
Beer drinking. See, look, he's trying to get out of being called a loser here.
Yeah. Trying to think which option would be the best way to go.
I was going to take socializing and that, but I don't think I'll put myself in the spotlight just yet.
Think of the last party you were at again. Where were you? I love this one. Never been to a party, in the thick of it all, somewhere along the outskirts, or what I actually believe about both of you, watching it through a window. That's what we're going to put.
Watching through a window.
I just imagine Will's sad face watching it through a window in a party in Potter's Bar.
It'll be my MK face.
Yeah, MK. Yeah, that's what we're going to call it from there.
Una are celebrating inside the party.
Yeah, the MK face. MK face. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Do you wear glasses? No. No, but I do wear contacts. Yes, because I have to. Yes, because I look better in them. Well, you twonks both wear glasses because
you have to. Pete?
Yeah, but mine's optional. Yes, because I have to. I'm going to put for that for both of you because you know you look like one of the two Ronnies, Hayward. And obviously yours are legendary round sort of anime glasses, aren't they, Will? So you're going to, yes, because I have to. Okay, this is great. How many friends do you have? Less than four, 4 to 6, 7 to 8, more than 8.
Less than 4.
Are we going on Facebook friends?
No, less than, I love Will's complete honesty there.
What did Will come out with?
Less than 4.
we're not actually Will's friends, you see. We're just like acquaintances.
I'm just kidding myself at the complete brutal honesty. Friends,
it genuinely would surprise me. My parents like pay people to talk to me.
No, I thought you were going like to say that you. I thought like you were going to say that you didn't. Didn't even include your parents in your friends. Kudos to you, Will, for being so honest. Less than four. Okay, so what's next? Okay, here's a great one. If you had to watch these movies, which would you watch first? Star Trek, the motion picture. That's the one from 77, by the way, guys.
Right.
Which I can say I have seen, yeah. Independence Day, Titanic, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, E.T., The Extraterrestrial.
I would go with E.T. on that one.
Yeah, you both answered E.T. there. Both answered E.T. there. Okay. Do you consider yourself a loser? Yes. No way. No, I'm just part of the crowd. I've never been a loser. I'm so cool.
So if you answered that last one, I've never been a loser, they're obviously going to take it as you are a loser because you have to try and convince yourself that you're not one. But then if you answer that, yes, I am a loser, then they're just going to take that as gospel.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
I think
there's actually no winners in this one.
I think you could be overthinking it, given that it's a click and point internet.
Question.
Yeah, click and point internet quiz, as opposed to anything particularly in depth. But yeah, I mean
I need to know, Pete, will this answer be set in stone? If it comes out that we are, in fact, a joint loser between the three of us, or between me and Venables,
yeah,
will we have to declare this on our CV, that we are actually a loser?
I think it's a foregone conclusion, really. And I don't mean the band, the Brent band, foregone conclusion.
How many singles did you sell? 49, was it?
Yeah, foregone conclusion.
How much?
What were you called? Foregone conclusion.
Foregone. Such a great name, that. Foregone conclusion. And what did he spend on it? £25,000.
£1,000.
Yeah. If you don't know me by now. If you don't know me. Do you consider yourself? Yeah, we can say yes. Okay.
Yeah. With less than four friends, we'll have to be and considered to be yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Here's a good one. Here's a great one. Here's a great one. Do you have any tattoos? No.
Oh, no, actually.
Yes, a few inconspicuous ones. Yes, and meant to be seen by all.
We're going to learn something about Will here, possibly. Will?
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, Will, do you have tattoos? Have no, not yet. But wait for a drunk night, and then anything's possible.
I reckon you should get an inconspicuous TLR tattoo somewhere.
Well, I just chuckled to myself imagining poor old Will in a drunken stupor at the party that he stood outside looking in through the windows with the AE logo tattooed in the middle of his forehead. Yeah. So I thought that would be quite good. But you can have a new tattoo, can't you, Alexander? You could have Amy somewhere. On your arm, on your knuckles, something like that, couldn't you? Yeah.
Possibly. I'd have to have some punctuation afterwards if it was on my knuckles to get, obviously, make use of the four fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mind you, if you came from the Fens, you probably have six fingers, so you could probably use Amy and then something else after, like the surname, get them all on one hand. When drinking with friends, what do you feel like the next day? I don't drink.
Wait, I have friends now?
Yeah, well, the less than four. I only have a few, so I feel okay. Slight hangover. Nothing that water and some food couldn't cure. Like crap, can barely get out of bed. I drink so much, I don't have hangovers anymore.
I reckon Will is the last one on that one.
I'm definitely the last one, because I've got to drink my sorrows away every day.
Okay, yeah. Right. Yep. Okay. That's fine. Yep. I'm beginning to get a picture here of a heavy drinking anime fan. What is your primary form of communication with other people? Email, the phone, blogging, face to face.
Does Will actually talk to other people? Has he got people he can speak to?
Yeah. Sadly, there isn't.
Well,
people? There isn't an option here, which I think would be great for. I don't communicate. That'd be a brilliant option. I don't communicate with other people. Well, look, he's on the phone now, so let's say the phone.
Yeah, let's go phone.
Let's say the phone.
Okay, okay. Do you have more people friends or animal friends? More people friends, more animal friends. Not even animals can stand me.
Not even animals can stand me. I give food to my cat and it still runs away. Like, that's it.
Really? You've got a cat? Oh,
Will, you have a cat as well. We're all cat lovers in this group.
We
now,
are.
Then.
We
all
are.
All cat lovers.
We are. Haywood has an adorable little floozy called Flo. She's wonderful. I love cats to bits. I have two. I have two rather lovely cats. And you have a cat as well then, Will? Yes?
Yeah, I have a cat.
Okay. And
what's their name?
Okay.
Associated?
No, it's even worse. Actually, it's even worse. Okay, I just want to point this out that I didn't actually come up with this name. It was a mixture of my dad and my twin that came up with this.
Yes,
he's called Lord Bushington.
Lord Bush. Now I get that. I get that perfectly, actually, because my cats have longer names as well. But they're known as Arnie and Monty for sure. But they do have much longer names because they're from a specific place. I get that. Lord Bushington. So you feed Lord Bushington, and he, if I'm not wrong there, still runs off from you. So,
just like all my friends. So nothing.
Okay. So the cat hates you as well. Okay, right. Do you practice being cool when nobody is around? Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I still come off looking like a dork. No, I am just so cool that I don't have to practice. No, I do what I do.
I do what I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, I need to answer this because it's how did I find this loser quiz? I finished another test on this site and I checked out the other quizzes. An internet search engine, a link was emailed to me, weblog or newsgroup. So, I found it through an internet search engine when I was also looking for another search for Hayward that I'll use on another occasion. So here we go. Let's find the process. It won't work.
Could not reload page.
Yeah, we're total losers, by the way. It says 95% of people on this earth are cooler than us. Yeah, and only 5%.
Well, we are probably the 5% that race model cars.
Yeah, it says only 5% of people are more losers than us. So I think this says something about the RC.
Are those people that have a race touring car?
We're above those people.
Or edgy. You're such an edgelord, Will, touring cars. Yeah.
Once we get loads of hate now.
So, I mean, that's an interesting question. We can round up the show this time on this question. Is that obviously, as Will, you had a wonderful expression for it. Hayward, you are now hitched, if you like. You have you have a partner of the opposite sex you're spending time with interfering with your racing, which could become an issue. I don't think it will, but it could. So what did you say to her, your lovely lady, about when did you break the exciting news that you raced model cars? Say on.
I can't remember the specific point, but I'm just amazed that she still speaks to me after she's seen the extent of model car racing. The amount of model car racing items I have in my
obsession
house
in your life,
and a specific bedroom dedicated to the cause.
Yes, well, I'm the same, as it happens. I'm sitting in it now, the room where I do all of my work, as many of us do.
Yeah.
I always think that's a bit of a sort of a difficult. I mean, I'm very lucky. I've been married for years. And my wife has also been with me for 23 years now. That kind of locked her into the deal prior to all of my racing restarting again a few years ago after many years away. But I've always found it an interesting gambit for the single racer as to when they bring that into the conversation. So that's a bridge we'll have to cross, I think, at some point, because
according to Steve Haskins, when I spoke to Haskins before, he reckons date number three, you hang on just a little bit, and when he gets a little bit more kind of serious, you've seen each other the third time, and then you can perhaps break it to her that you have a hobby that you partake in that involves radio control cars.
Yeah, Haskins, you see, Haskins with wisdom. There, Haskins with that. So Steve says third day in.
Third day in, you can then reveal.
It's probably a bit early on the first, isn't it? It's sort of like, you know, Hayward, you probably went out, didn't you, in your sort of bell-bottom tartan trousers, you know. And
denim jacket.
Denim jacket, tight, double denim, tight shirt, you know, sort of stacker platform shoes. And you went out and you were thinking, right, okay, well, I've just bought her a Fanta Orange, fizzy orange. So when will I say about,
yeah, I race model cars. No, 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 not today. Not today. I'll tell her that, I tell her that I go cycling instead. I tell her I go cycling. So, Will, you've got this to come, young man. You know, this will all happen to you along the way.
You need to break out away from looking through the window, Will, at a party, and actually get yourself inside.
Oh, no. I know, this situation's come a few times.
I've got to
figure it out.
See, do you see how sly he is, listeners? He's sort of like, oh, yes. I've got it figured out. I can imagine the sort of slight narrowing of the eyes behind those rounded glasses. Now, here's a question. Sammy is your twin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sammy is identical twin or not?
We used to look more identical a few years ago, but...
Right.
A little bit different now.
So you were identical, were you?
Yeah, we were pretty much bang on identical.
Right, okay. Okay, right. And Sammy is obviously not a racer, but you are.
Yeah, he races go-karts and I race toy cars, so that's the difference.
Right, he races what?
He races go-karts, actually, and then racing toy cars.
Oh, nice one. Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool. So... Yeah, that's awesome. Sammy has the edge on you, really, then, in seriousness of car size, isn't it? Karts, obviously, you know, you've got the toy plastic ones, but still very serious, I have to add, still very serious. Well, that's kind of it, really, isn't it, for the show this week or this 4 weeks. We shall get together again in the next few weeks. Still trying to get Richie on, but he's been working a lot lately, so we haven't been able to.
I think he's just been styling his hair, actually.
Yeah, I know. He is worth it. He is worth it. So
absolutely.
I hope you've enjoyed our nonsense yet again. Thanks for listening. Will, thank you ever so much for joining us. The next round of EOS is at the Huddy Arena, isn't it?
Yeah, so next year I set the Huddy Arena. So it looks like I'm going. Just got to finalise a few things, but
yes,
I think I shall be there.
Excellent. And awesome. When is that?
So I can check for you. It's mid March. I think it's on the 15th of March to the 17th.
Right, but yeah, so not long now, is it? So basically 30 days from now. That'll be great. So we'll be delighted to have you back to talk about that and more idiotic foolishness. Where are you racing on Sunday, Hayward?
Kidderminster for the MAM series.
Yes. Kidderminster MAM, isn't it? Tony Meredith putting that on. So I hope that goes really, really well. Tony Meredith always does a fantastic job at Kidderminster, one of my favourite tracks. So yeah, I hope that goes well.
And you are where, Pete, this weekend, if anywhere?
I'm not sure. I may be at Stotfold on Sunday. Lloyd's going, and he's asked me to go down. So provided I can get stuff together, that's where I'll be. Back to racing next week. I'm not sure what's on the week after, though. There's a few things I'm going to have a look at. But, thanks, everybody, for listening. Alexander, thank you for joining. And
you.
And yourself, Will, lovely to have you on again for our silliness. And thanks for tuning in. Subscribe to the show, and we'll catch up with you all again soon. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Right, cheers, guys. See ya. Right, cheers, guys.